Are You Real? Episode 66.
You don't even know, or maybe you don't care. The wreckage just below the mask over my heart is reason to be scared. But you don't even know how far you gotta go.
Roar Nation, I hope you enjoyed that new little teaser that is coming out September 22nd. Please go check it out. That is our friend. He's been on our show before, Jeremy Shuck, also known as Remy. That song that we just played a little bit of a clip for, that is off his album coming out again September 22nd. That song is called Gamble. So for the next two more weeks, we'll be playing some clips from his album. We played one last week. Check it out. Get on there. It's going to be a bomb, awesome CD. So please check it out. Also, do not forget Michael McIntyre, another business coach, friend of ours here at Are You Real Podcast. Him and his wife, Stacy, they're going to have next level training. It's literally to take you to a whole new level in your life. It doesn't matter if you're wanting to do business, marriage, deeper relationship with the Lord. They are going to rock your socks. And what I love about Michael is he is a no BS kind of guy. So I'm telling you right now, if you want to get somewhere in life, he is the guy to help you get there. He's going to kick you in the butt and make sure you get there because he loves you. So anyways, check all that out. Just a quick glimpse. Check out our book, DIY Remodel Your Life. It's on our front page. And besides that, do we have an episode for you this week? So check it out. Love you guys. Bye. Hey, Roar Nation. John Fuller here, episode 65. And I got a special gift for you today. I'm really excited. This one is definitely out of the rabbit out of the hat, the way I found this guy. Without any more further delay, Philip, man, are you ready to roar?
Man, I'm ready to roar. I'm excited to be on this station with you, bro, and on this podcast. Bro, I'm ready, bro.
Let's do it. Okay, so Roar Nation, check this out. I'm scrolling Facebook. For those of you that don't know, I lived in Silver City, New Mexico for 10 years. I went to college there, and then my wife and I bought a health food store. And long story short, we ended up leaving after 10 years. Well, I still got friends there, so I'm flowing through Facebook the other day, and I see this formerly known rap artist who had been doing basically dealing drugs, gangster music, all this whole scene for years, get saved and totally just changes his life around. But what the cool thing was is he made the front page of the newspaper of the Las Cruces Sun News in Silver City. So that's how I found him, Roar Nation. Totally just out of the park. Totally a Jesus thing, to be honest. So anyways, Philip, I want to jump into, I don't know a whole lot about you. I've read your story. I'm excited. Tell my listeners a little bit about you, just kind of a brief intro of what you're doing now, and we'll dive more into like what you used to be and how you've got there, but just tell us right now like what you're doing and how you're traveling.
Well, right now I'm actually on a tour. It's called the Kingdom Come Tour, and we're traveling the whole half of the United States from Texas towards California. We're actually in Washington right now. We've hit already 18 events. Many outreaches. We've seen God show up at every single outreach and do amazing things. You know, we've seen healing taking place. We've seen chains broken off people. We've seen people just give up their drug addiction right there on site, actually pull out drugs out of their pocket, put it there, and we stomp on them together. You know, we're just out here just doing what God sent us to do, and that's make disciples of many men and just come out here and just put in work for God. That's all it's about.
That's fun, man. So tell us a little bit how you got. So you've been into music for a while. Let's do a backstory. So let's go back maybe 5 years, 10 years, some of the stuff that I read in the newspaper, who you used to be, because all of us got a dark past, but God's done some awesome things. So tell us a little bit how you got into music.
Right. Well, you know, in 2010, around that time, I started doing music. I had always rapped, just kind of freestyle rapping and just messing around with my friends. I started taking it serious once I used to work and I got in a car wreck and my best friend was killed in the car wreck. So the first song I ever made was for him that I actually recorded. And from that point, I just started digging into music. And then I started dealing drugs. I started selling drugs. I started living the lifestyle, because to me, it was always about, if you're going to rap about it, you better be about it.
You got to be the real deal, huh?
Yeah, you know what I mean? That was more important to me than actually making hit records, you know, is actually being the real deal and actually doing what you say you're doing on music. So I started doing music and I started recording and ended up making a big buzz for myself as a secular artist. But really what it was just the dope money that was just funding this whole project that I had going on, you know? So it looked really big, but when you put it on paper, the music wasn't doing anything.
Wow, that's funny.
Yeah, it's crazy. It was all just a cover up. It was all just a lie, you know? And I'm not ashamed to admit that, because I like people to know the truth, that there's a lot of people out there that are doing music and doing things and it looks like they're doing stuff, but there's other stuff going on behind the scenes that we don't ever see.
Right.
And you know, and we're out here promoting death, we're promoting sex, we're promoting drug usage, and that's not what we should be promoting. You know, we should be promoting life. We should be speaking life, you know. So I almost got a record deal. I ended up going to prison in 2008. I was about to sign a record deal with a label out of Houston, Texas. I felt like things were going to start opening up for me. But I ended up going to prison.
So was that part of because of the drug dealing and stuff you were doing?
Yeah, I went to prison for distribution of drugs, and I ended up in federal prison for 3 years. And that was really a wake-up call, because whenever you have all this money and you see all this stuff going on and you're living this party life, everyone's around you. Everybody wants to be on the right side of you. Everybody wants to be hugging you. Everybody wants to be loving on you. You know, everybody has your back at that time. But the moment that, you know what I mean, that cell door shuts, that money's gone, you don't have the nice car no more, you know what I'm saying? Everybody turns their back on you, and it's crazy, because the only people that ever stuck by me was my family. And I mean my close family, like my mom and my sister, and that's it, you know?
Yeah. That's funny you say that. I remember I got caught up, not at the level you were at, man, but I dealt drugs in high school and did things and stuff before I got saved. And I remember my dad, when my parents found out, I got kicked out of church camp. Anyways, I remember my dad, I was the first kid ever to get kicked out of this church camp. It was hilarious. I mean, looking back, it's funny. Not then, it wasn't. But anyways, I remember telling my dad, he's like, you know, we're cutting off all your friends. You're grounded for a year, all this stuff. And I was so mad. And I was like, man, I hate you. They're my real friends and all this stuff. And I remember same thing like you said, man, when push come to shove, and I got in trouble, man. I had nobody but my parents. They were the only ones there to see me through and to help me. And it's such a lie of the enemy to make us think that that's the lifestyle and those are the things that we need. Because when crap hits the fan and the light comes on, all the cockroaches, they just scatter, man.
Exactly. And the crazy thing is that I always knew that God was real. But I was mad at God. I had an issue with God. I used to blame everything on God, you know.
Let's not even tell me why that. Why were you mad at God?
I was mad at God because, like I said, me and my friend, we had got in a car wreck, you know, and whenever he died, he was like a straight arrow, you know what I mean? Like, I was out there selling drugs. He was out there at the baseball fields playing ball, you know what I mean? I was staying out on the corners drinking. He was at home chilling, watching WWF at the time, you know what I'm saying? Like, he was the friend that I could ditch the homeless and go hang out with him and not have to worry about nothing, you know what I mean? And his mom loved me, his family loved me. They let me come in the house and they feed me, you know what I mean? And I could stay there and relax my brain, you know? And that was my friend that he took care of me a lot of times, you know? And whenever I had my first child, my daughter, he was like, you need to get a job. What are you going to do with yourself? You know what I mean? And I took his advice and he got me a job and we were working together. And whenever we got in that wreck, I was mad at God because he died and not me. He had his seatbelt on and I didn't have my seatbelt on, you know, and he got killed and not me. So I was always blaming God. Like, why would you do that to him, God? Like, why him, you know? And a lot of it, too, is that I didn't understand about purpose and I didn't know what my purpose was to do something later on, you know what I mean? And I always consider him my guardian angel now because, you know, I sometimes feel like, you know, God took him, but God used him to get to me, to get me where I'm at today, you know?
Right. Well, that's powerful. So you go to prison, get a 3-year sentence. Did you do your whole 3 years?
Yeah, I did close to it. I want to say 27, 28 months on that.
Okay.
And I got out and I ended up at a halfway home in Las Cruces. And the funny thing was, is the whole time that I was in prison, I never searched for God. I never looked into the Bible. I used to look at people like they were weak. I used to laugh because I had this name that I had to carry. You know what I mean? I was Kilo Brown, the rapper from New Mexico, the dude that was doing it, you know? So I always had to just like have this ego that I had to live up to. So I never found God. I used to even laugh at people when they would read the Bible in prison. I used to think they were weak, and I would laugh at them. I would make fun of them. You know what I mean? And the craziest thing was is that, you know, I was the one that was weak. I was the one that was dumb because they knew who Jesus Christ was. And they knew what being set free really was. They knew what having peace of mind really was. They knew what love was, you know. And I didn't knew, and I never knew that. And I never knew about that. You know, I knew the name. I knew he was real, but I never dug into his scripture. I never dug into his word. You know, I never tried to really get a whole grip on just Jesus and the love and what he's really done for us. You know.
Yeah, absolutely. So, at what point? Okay, so you get out of prison. Give me a little bit of that moment, like your moment. You're like, oh my gosh, like this is legit or this is the real deal. So, how did that come about?
Okay, well, when I went to prison or whatever, I had a friend, and she's been my friend for years, and I end up coming out of prison. I end up marrying my best friend, Rosemary Waters. I end up marrying her. She's from Silver City also. So I end up marrying her, and she's going to church. She's been going to church. That's what she does. So I start going with her just to make her happy. But I'm still doing stuff behind her back. You know, I'm still pushing a little bit of marijuana on the side. I'm still doing a little bit of things. You know, and at one point, I was even selling drugs in the church parking lot. You know, like, I was still trying to do this on the down low when it was wrong. So I ended up getting in trouble and going back to prison for 11 months this next time. And she stood with me the whole 11 months, visited me every weekend, answered the calls when I'd call her. You know, she sent me money. She took care of me while I was in there. But she would feed me scripture. She would tell me to pray. She would tell me to read my word. You know, so I started reading it and I started looking into it. And then I started really thinking like, man, you know, like this, God's real, you know. So I got out and I'm like, man, I wanna go to church with you for real. So I'm gonna do it, you know. And I started going, and I was always too tough to cry. I didn't want to cry in front of people. I always hold my tears in. But one day we had a visiting pastor come through, and he spoke some life into me that really touched my heart, you know, about change and about how God could use everyone for their gifts that He's given us, you know, that it's to glorify Him, not to glorify ourselves. And you know, at that time, you know, I went up to the altar and it hit me. Fell to my knees, you know. I always tell people, you know, boogers are flying out of my nose, tears coming out of my eyes. I just ask God to forgive me. And my wife comes up to me and she's like, are you okay? It feels good, don't it? And I looked at her and I said, no, it's scary, because I knew it was so real at that time. I thought that Holy Spirit just on me, and I just knew it was real. And I tell people, it scared the devil out of me. You know what I mean? So, yeah, so that's when I knew it was official. Like, I ain't going back. You know what I'm saying? I'm switching it up. So I sat in church. I gave up music because my wife's like, you know, you got to make a choice. If you're going to rap about the streets and stuff, and I already know how you are, you're going to end up doing that, and you're going to end up in jail, or you're going to end up out, you know what I mean? Like, in the clubs and the party scene. So you got to make a choice. Is it going to be me, or is it going to be that? You know what I mean? And I don't want to lose my wife and my family. So I gave up music completely. And I sat in church for a year and a half. I got discipled. I went to classes. I ended up getting a staff at the church and just really pouring it all into church, you know?
So, okay, I want to jump in. You said a couple things that I want to hit on. One was that you said the pastor came to you and spoke life into you. For some people that don't understand that, that could be, I don't know, that could be a religious term. I know exactly what you're talking about. But tell me the kind of words that he spoke to you, and then, like, how'd that make you feel? Like, I mean, did that hit down in your spirit? Like, you're like, that is who I am. Like, did it resonate with you when what was he saying, and did it resonate with you?
He was saying stuff that I had heard from my own pastors tell me before, but I didn't accept it. He was telling me that, you know, God's going to open doors for me that no man will ever be able to shut, and that I got something special in me that God's going to use. God giving me a gift to reach many people, you know, and not just with the music, but just with my spirit and the person that I am, and that God will forgive me for no matter what I've ever done, you know?
Yeah. So as that happens, okay, so then obviously the love from your wife just kind of overwhelmed you. After you got discipled for a while and you go to church, at what point did you realize, like, hey, I still have a gift, it's in me, and I need to use it?
Well, at that point, I started digging into other Christian musicians, and I found a couple of Christian rap artists out there that were like, wow, you know, these guys are the real deal, you know?
Who do you listen to? I'm just curious, man.
I listen to Brother Five. I listen to Five a lot. I listen to Brian T. I listen to Illuminate. You know, there's a couple guys that I listen to out there.
I like Illuminate. Tadashi, Lecrae.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I listen to more of the brothers that are out actually in the ministry part. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
That's fun, man. So, okay, so back to my question. I'm sorry, I got sidetracked. So where did you start, like, you realize, hey, my life's changed, but I still got the gift of music in me. How did you move forward with that?
Well, like I was saying, I was digging around and I started just to write music, you know what I mean, again. And I started writing this like poetry type stuff about God. And my pastors would always tell me, you know, God's going to use you one day whenever you're ready, you know. And really, it was me just really just taking a leap out in faith and believing God to do what was already spoken on me, you know what I mean, what was already promised to me, you know. And I started to look into these guys, and I started thinking about it, and I started just writing music. So I sat my wife down, and I showed her a song I did. She really liked it. Then I sat my pastors down, and they loved it. And then I just started thinking about a ministry and just, you know, how humbling everything has been and how I got to humble myself. You know, the Bible says that God opposes the proud and shows favor to the humble. So I really just thought about everything I've been through and how much I had humbled myself over these years, you know what I mean? And I just was like, you know what? I'm going to start doing music. Next thing you know, I couldn't sleep. I didn't sleep for like a week straight. I was up talking about ministry. Next thing you know, God gave me a ministry name. Next thing you know, I already have like 10 songs written. Next thing you know, I'm just going in, you know. And from then, it just started taking off.
You know what I love what you said is a lot of times people will get a prophetic word or something, or if somebody doesn't understand what that means, but somebody will speak life over you or speak into right. you, and they'll say, hey, you know, you got a gift, go use it. But I love what you said, though, is you said, I took a step of faith. I took a leap of faith. And the thing is you can't fulfill that promise until you decide to step into it. It doesn't matter how many pastors or your wife or anybody said those things to you or over you until you took that step and said, you know what, that is who I am, and I'm going to go for it. Then you saw, like, power, right?
Yep, exactly. You have to step out of faith, and you have to believe that God's going to do what he said he's already promised he will do, you know? You have to do it. You know, a lot of times we think that, you know, some people might think, you know, God's like a lamp rub and he just poof pops out and, you know, what can I do for you today? You know, you have to be willing to go out on a limb too and chase him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I love that you said that, man. That's powerful, because I think so many people, I just remember having friends say, man, I'm just waiting on God. And man, I hate
right.
that. I hate that term, because I'm like, man, God's just waiting on you to step out and go do something. I mean, just do anything. Just do anything. You got a gift. You got a talent. There is something you can do. You don't necessarily have to go do ministry. Just go do life, and then just love people through your work or whatever it is that you do. Just go do something.
Right. Exactly. I mean, it's already there for you to do it. Just do your part. You know, God's going to take care of the rest. God's going to open the doors, but you got to be willing to walk through them doors.
So what did you do is you start writing music, you show your wife, your pastors, and what did you do with it at that point? I mean, how did you step out and say, okay, I'm just going to go for this?
I actually called a producer that I had worked with, and we started networking. And actually, the first guy that I ever talked to was Illuminate. I ended up saying, you know what, I'm going to bring you to my city. I want to do a song with you. I want you to come out here and just do an event at my church. And we did an event. I put together an album. We shot a video. And me and Illuminate clicked. Me and Rise from Rise and Shine Media clicked. I started working with an old producer from Paradox Studios in El Paso, Texas. And we just started networking, and everything was just like, it was like if I knew these guys forever, you know what I mean? Like they were just like, they have been my friends for years, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it all just came together. Everything just fell into place. All the pieces just fell into place perfectly.
Isn't that funny? And all that was just a step of obedience. So you stepped out in faith, obeyed basically what you felt like God was saying to you, and because of that, all these doors started opening up just like that pastor had spoke to you.
Exactly, and that's all it is obedience and faithfulness. You know, faithfulness pleases God. That's one thing that my pastor has always taught me, is that as faithfulness pleases God, you know?
I always laugh because so many people think like you're going to get saved, and people are like, well, I don't want to be a minister or a pastor, and God sent me as a missionary to Zimbabwe or something crazy. And I'm like, man, that is just not the deal. There is desires in your heart. God put them there. And as we step out in obedience, he fulfills those. Like for you, it's music and traveling and do those things. And for me, it's my podcast. And it's so funny that people think God's going to make them do something they don't want to do. But as you were faithful and obedient, followed the Lord, went after him, all of a sudden doors started opening up and he fulfilled the desires of your heart, just like scripture says.
Exactly. Because, you know, God's a gentleman. He's not going to make you do something you don't want to do. You know, we got free will. You know, he gave us that option to either choose right or choose wrong, you know?
Yeah.
It's that simple.
I love it, man. Okay, so tell me a little bit, what do you feel like your biggest strength is?
My biggest strength, I believe, is just having courage, you know what I mean? Having courage to step out there and just do things, you know, and do what God sent me to do, you know? My biggest strength is not being ashamed of what I am and who God has made me, you know? My biggest strength is just being able to just step out there and just tell people what God's given to me, what God's done for me. That's what I feel my strongest strength is just not being ashamed of the gospel, period. Not being ashamed of what Jesus has done in my life, period.
Yeah, especially when you got a testimony like yours going from going from prison to traveling and singing about the Lord and things like that, dude. It's an awesome testimony.
Right.
Okay.
Right, yeah.
What do you feel like your biggest weakness is?
You know what? I'm only human, and I'm not scared to admit it, you know, but I think sometimes my biggest weakness is my mouth. You know, sometimes I say stuff that sounds crazy, you know, because, like I said, for so many years, I put on this personality that I was this hardcore dude, so I had to be mean. I had to be tough. I had to clown on people and disrespect people, you know, and now it's like all I want to do is laugh. I just want to smile. I want to joke around, and sometimes I say stuff that's like joking, and it could hurt somebody sometimes, you know what I'm saying? And I don't want to be that do, but it's something that I'm working on, and I've gotten way better at it, a lot better at it, but it's still something that, you know, that I deal with. So I would say just my mouth sometimes.
Yeah, I hear you. I sometimes walk around with my foot in my mouth, and my wife has to surgically remove it often, it seems like.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm glad for my wife, because she's not scared to check me on it at all. You know, she keeps me in line. She puts me in check all the time.
Yeah, I got to preach in our church. I guess it's been about a month or more, but I refer to my wife as the Holy Spirit, Casey, because there's times, man, that God just has to speak through her just to make sure that I'm in check. So
right, yeah, that's the one thing though that I feel that, you know, some people, they get to a point where they're just not teachable no more, or they don't take correction from anybody. And I never want to be that person. I always want to be able to have a teachable spirit. I always want to have people that can hold me accountable, and I can look to my leaders and they can tell me, hey, you're doing this wrong. Hey, you need to work on this, you know? And that's just all part of the process. I believe that doing this is all just a growing process, and it never stops, you know?
Amen to that, man. Okay. What do you feel like the biggest thing that God's stirring inside of you right now?
Right now, I think the biggest thing that God's stirring inside of me, it would definitely be to not be afraid to jump out there and believe in myself, because a lot of times I'm like my biggest critic, even with my music. I'm my biggest critic with just what I put out. And I believe that, you know what I mean? I have to just understand that God got you know what I mean? To the fullest. And even when it comes to my music, you know, but me, I'm like, it has to be perfect because I'm doing it for him. You know, it has to be done in perfection because I'm doing it for him. But I think that's something that he's definitely stirring up with me, is just to put it all in his court, you know, even the music, everything. I can't do it by myself, you know?
I want to ask you this. I've never asked anybody this on my show. So if you were to do one thing in your life and you didn't get paid to do it, but you still do it, would you be doing what you're doing now? Would you be rapping and doing music?
I would definitely be rapping and doing music, but I would more definitely be ministering, you know, because a lot of times, like, you know, you mentioned some big names a while ago, and we're talking about artists and stuff, and they got big paychecks coming their way. They got big, you know what I mean, sponsorships. They're working with big labels, you know. We're out here doing God's work, and God's just providing for us, you know what I mean? We never have a set payment that we're looking for. You know, if I was to want to chase money, I'd be doing something totally different, you know, but I'm doing this because I love God, you know what I mean? And I love what he's done in my life, and I love to share that. The best paycheck I could ever get is seeing people broken down at that altar, surrendering their life to Christ, and hearing about it down the road that, hey, I'm still in church. I'm on the staff now. I'm part of the choir. You know what I mean? Just that's the biggest payday. But definitely, if I wasn't getting money, I would still be doing this because, trust me, I'm not getting millions of dollars like some of these other guys are.
Yeah. Well, I love what you said. And the reason I asked that, though, is because you're still doing, you have two passions, obviously, inside of you. It's loving people, Christ through you, just loving on people. And the other one is using your gifts and talents to love
them. Right.
You're in your sweet spot, because you're loving people through your gift, which is ministering through music.
Amen. Amen.
So I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, I received that. I definitely received that, because that's definitely the truth right there. Yes.
Okay. So what is a daily habit that you have right now that you try to do, or maybe it's not every day, weekly, whatever, that allows you to have a solid walk with Jesus?
Oh, daily habit, definitely, of course, is prayer. I definitely have to pray every single day. I read a devotional every day. That's a Proverbs devotional. You know, I got to stay in the Proverbs word. Mainly this prayer, you know, prayer. We fast weekly too. You know, usually my ministry, if we have an event on a weekend, we're fasting, you know. So, but I say the main thing for me is just prayer.
Okay. Have you read a book or something recently that's really impacted you that you want to share with my audience?
As far as a book that I've read, it's a Proverbs book. I don't know exactly who wrote it.
Okay.
It's crazy. I should know this.
Do you know
it's a Proverbs devotional?
Okay.
And it's been really, really helpful. I'm trying to find it, actually. I'm right here. Okay, I got it right here. It's a 90-day devotional. It's by Boyd Bailey. It's called Through Proverbs, 2 minutes in the Bible through Proverbs.
Okay. That's funny you say that. I've always, since I got saved, man, it's been 18 years, but I've always tried to make a habit of every day of reading a proverb, whatever day it is. So, you know, if it's the 28th or 30th, whatever, that's what proverb I'll read and for the day.
Right.
And just constantly, because there's so much wisdom in Proverbs, man. And
it's exactly.
And it like illuminates. All of a sudden, you're sitting there reading it and you're like, man, I know that's for me today. God's saying something through that.
Right, definitely. And you know, when I was reading this book, and there's a devotional on one of the days, but it was said, walk with the wise and become wiser. You know, that right there is powerful, you know what I mean? Because that's just who you surround yourself. You know, bad company corrupts good character. So that just tells me that I got to stay surrounded by leaders. I got to stay surrounded by people that are doing the same thing as me. I can't fall back into that old lifestyle.
It's funny you say that the world, I've read a lot of like secular self-help books as well, but they say you're the average of the five people you hang out with. And it's funny how the secular world, people say that. And if you want to look at where you're going, the direction or who you're going to become, look at the five people that influence you the most. Well, what's funny about that though, is you can go to Proverbs and Proverbs is going to tell you the same thing, but most people don't even realize. And it's so, there's so much truth, man.
Yep. I see that. Definitely. A lot of people try to take the scriptures too and twist them up to how they want them to sound, you know, and how they want them to apply to their lifestyle. But you just got to really dig deep and tell God to give you the clarity on what it's saying to you.
Absolutely. Okay, so Philip, I want to ask you this, and I ask every guest this no matter what. If you got to go back to the younger you, okay, what age are you going to go back to and what would you tell yourself? Now, you can't change your future of what you're going to go through, but you can encourage yourself and basically just encourage yourself for what you're about to go through in life. What age and what are you going to tell yourself?
I would go back to about 18 years old and I would just tell myself, you got to be a man someday. You got to grow up and be a man someday, you know. And the reason I say that is because at that age, I was still a kid thinking I was a man. I was a kid thinking that I was doing it because I had a little bit of money. But you know what? I didn't become a man until I knew who I really was in life and who I really was supposed to be in life.
Wow, that's powerful, man. Okay, so tell me a little bit as we start to wrap up the show. I know you just came out with your album. Tell us about your album, what you're doing with it, how we find it, where to get it. I mean, just this is a you moment, dude. So I want to hear about how our audience can check out your music and connect with you and what you're doing.
Okay, well, the new album is called Greater Love. So if you go to iTunes and you just type in Selfless, S-E-L-F-L-E-S-S, and then you put in Greater Love, my album will come out. It's a new album. It dropped August 15th, and it has a bunch of cool features on there. We got Five on there. We got Arise. We got a bunch of awesome producers that worked on the project with us. It has 10 tracks. If you go to my YouTube channel, or if you just go to my Facebook, Selfless Music, like the page, and you can see some of the new videos that we put out for these singles that we put out. You can find us on humblelifestyles.com. We got some merchandise on there. We got shirts, and all the money that we do, it just keeps going back into the ministry to fund what we do, fund our traveling expenses, you know, fund our music. But definitely, if you go get that album, I'm telling you, you won't regret it. It's highly anointed.
Well, I'm excited to check it out, man. We'll have to play some of it. So let me ask you, what is a piece of parting advice that for somebody listening to this show, for what you've gone through, where you're going, what would you like to instill and speak life into my audience? What would you say?
I would say just be content with whatever you have. Be content with the things that God has given you. The Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. For a long time, you know, too much was never enough for me. I always wanted more. I always wanted more. But God never would bless somebody like that, you know? Until I was actually happy with what God's given me, you know, my family, the things that are closest to me, them are the real blessings in life. You know, a lot of times we think that we want to be rich, but you never know how rich you are until you lose something that money cannot buy.
Ooh, brother, that's good.
you know? So I would just say, be content, you know, just be content with what God's given you.
Man, that was powerful, dude. That was great advice. That's some of the best advice I've heard somebody give, to be honest with you. I've never heard, you know, until we lose something that money can't buy, there's so much truth to that, whether it's a family member, a friend, or health. You know, so many times we take those things for granted. We have no idea. When you can't buy that stuff back, it really is priceless.
Right. Right. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And I really just appreciate the opportunity to be on this with you, man. The Roar Show. It's awesome. It's cool that you're from Silver. That's awesome. God works in his own ways. You know what I mean? And he made the connection. So like I say, God's the plug, you know. Awesome.
I love it. Well, Philip, hold on just a second as I wrap up. Roar Nation, thank you guys so much for tuning in. This was just fun for me to hear somebody from another town that I lived in the last 10 years. But Nation, check out on our website. I'm telling you, please get my book, DIY Remodel Your Life. It is packed full of just wisdom, years of stuff that I've read, trainings, things I've gone through to help remodel your life into the life that God desires you to have, that literally He created you to have. Step-by-step process and how to fulfill that, step into it. It's on our front page, rureal.org, and then you can jump in to take you to Amazon, things like that. And also, if you got questions or you want to hear a guest or anything, send me an email. I love to hear your testimonies. I reply to everybody. No, I just love to hear about what God's doing in your life and things like that. So please check it out. And guys, gals, I love you. Thank you so much. And remember, be real, be authentic, and be you. God bless.
That's all for this episode of Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You. Be sure to go to rureal.org for your free questionnaire to identify your gifts and talents and how you can use them to help people become leaders and catapult them into their destiny to help others become the leaders of tomorrow. We appreciate you spending your time with us and look forward to helping you reach out and revolutionize next time on Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You.